Good morning. Today's scripture reading comes from Genesis 2, verses 2 to 3, Luke 4, verses 16 to 21, and Revelation 22, verse 5. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me, to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And night will be no more. They will need no light or lamp or sun, light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. So you might think that you've come on a great Sunday. A sermon on Sabbath? Cool. Don't work on Sundays. Bam, we're finished. Well, you have come on a great Sunday because you're going to get so much more than that. As most of you know, our pastor, Jason Hsu, is on sabbatical, and the elders have sought to communicate that this is something other than a long, torpid vacation. Rather, it involves rest, renewal, and retooling. Sabbatical, as the name indicates, is kind of like an extended Sabbath. Sabbath comes from the Hebrew verb meaning to cease or to rest. It also has connotations of completion, like completion of labor, and even fulfillment. Our own elder Tom Lloyd, a couple of weeks ago, did a great job preaching on Hebrews 4, pointing up Jesus as the Sabbath rest for those who believe. So why talk more about Sabbath? It's because Hebrews is picking up on a theme that is all over Scripture, and it's pretty great. Sabbath even takes on cosmic proportions, as we'll see. So it's good to take some time and delve in to Sabbath more fully. I want to go ahead and mention two sources I've drawn from. One is a manuscript by Bill Crispin on Sabbath, especially as it relates to mercy and justice. And the other is a sermon by the late Reverend Dr. Gardner Taylor, a civil rights leader and known by many as the Prince of Preachers. I borrow the framework he uses, the three great Sabbaths of God, to trace the Sabbath across redemptive history. And we are literally going to go from Genesis to Revelation here, so hold tight. And if any of us have had a small sectioned-off view of Sabbath, let's venture into something that is deeper and wider and grander that God has for us, and that God wants us to enter into. The first great Sabbath of God took place after God created everything out of nothing in 6 days. Exodus 20:11 says, "He rested on the seventh day, therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." And God calls the people made in his image to be like him and to do like him. God worked, God rested. God calls humanity to work, be fruitful, fill the earth, have dominion, and he calls people to rest. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. When I was a teen, in my early teens, I mowed lawns to make money. I learned to mow the lawn by watching and receiving instruction from my dad. Work. I used to have a recliner, Regrettably, I don't anymore. But I did like to sit in it and, of course, recline. And I learned about the blessed repose of a recliner watching my dad as I was a kid chilling in his dad chair. Rest. Work and rest. Sabbath has to do with modeling God in how we do life, being like our daddy. And just in case you were wondering, the devil knows nothing of Sabbath. He does not rest. He prowls like a lion looking to devour. He is a taskmaster who will bind and drive us in slavery in any way he can. So, who are we modeling in our lives? Who's our daddy? We get more about what Sabbath day entails in the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, which was God's instructions to his people Israel. It's a holy day. It's set apart by God. God does not want our life to be just one darn thing after another. It's also a day of community, holy assembly of the people. It's to be observed across generations. It's a day of remembrance for Israel, of their Creator, and of how God delivered them from the bondage of slavery in Egypt. And Sabbath is a covenant sign. The day itself points to the bond between God and his people. In all this, Sabbath is focusing on God, looking at him and what he's done, which puts everything into perspective. All I am and all I have comes from God. Sabbath is meant to be identity forming. Now, why would we not rest? That's easy, right? That's easy like Sunday morning. Can anyone name that artist or group? Lionel Richie, the Commodores. Thank you, Tucker. I was counting on you. Easy like Sunday morning. Rest sounds good. But the truth is we have a hard time ceasing from our labors. Whether it's mental anxiety or the work of our hands, we have a hard time doing that. And it's a trust issue. Can you really afford to not slow down and Sabbath with God? Truett Cathy started Chick-fil-A and made it into the most profitable fast food franchise chain in the U.S., which is no small feat. And he did that even with Chick-fil-A being closed on Sundays. So it makes all its profits in 6 days and now does all the other ones that strive all 7 days. Bill Crispin, I'll quote him and say, Sabbath reminds us that it is not our labor that holds things in life together, but rather God's sovereign lordship. We need this reminder. Don't think that you don't need God. He is our refreshment. A day out of seven for thankfulness, worship, focused, delighting ourselves in the Lord is a good thing. Enter into God's Sabbath. Well, in addition to one day and seven, in the Torah, there are seven holy feasts a year that are also Sabbaths to the Lord. And every 7 years is to be a Sabbath year. And every seven Sabbath years is to be an extra Sabbath year tacked on called the Year of Jubilee. Is everybody tracking? How many years is that? I heard. There's two in a row. How many? I think I heard it, but I didn't. 50, right, 50. Every 50 years, it's Jubilee. It's like Sabbath zooms out in time, like it's supposed to encompass all of life's cycles. I mean, you might see one or two Jubilees in your whole life. Sabbath in the Torah pervades time. It seems like God is really interested in his people marking life with this Sabbath thing. There's more layers to Sabbath as well. There's the days and the feasts call for a wide variety of sacrifices, the slaughtering of animals for sin, and offerings, giving back to God in thanks and giving towards his purposes. Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, specifically calls for people to afflict their souls. It's a time of focused repentance. Sabbath years call for the land to rest, no planting or harvesting for a whole year in an agricultural society. And it's a year of release. All debts to fellow Israelites are to be forgiven. And Hebrews, who had come on hard times and indentured themselves to other Hebrews, were to be set free. And not just set free, but provided for liberally so they could reestablish themselves. And all people of every age throughout Israel were to gather and hear the whole Torah read, the first five books of the Bible. At Jubilee, all the land that had been bought and sold for the previous 50 years was to be restored to its original owners. And any Israelites indentured to sojourners in the land, to non-Israelites, were to be freed. It was a year for reordering things God's way. No human being belongs to another, and the land is acknowledged as given by God. And here's this year to live out that land, human beings, and the community really belongs to God. And in all of this, what we see is Sabbath is for forming right relationships with God, with people, and the world. We see people remembering that they're sinners and that God alone can make them whole and holy, like Him. And we see God's call for mercy and justice. Just like God's grace was for stiff-necked slaves in Egypt, God's grace is also for those who have fallen on hard times, the widows and orphans and strangers, people like us. Sabbath times are reminders to God's people that we are trustees of His resources for the purposes of mercy and justice. We're recipients of grace, and we're to be stewards and dispensers of that grace to others. If we're honest here about the picture we have of Sabbath, Sabbath kind of gets into people's business. All this time, an author, Marva Dawn, wrote a great book on worshiping God and being the church for the world called A Royal Waste of Time. It's basically about Sundays and spending time worshiping God. How productive is spending all this time in Sabbath for our agendas? Then there's these reminders in the Sabbath about our past. You were stiff-necked slaves, and then pointing to the state of our souls and requiring all this bloody sacrifice. It's not convenient. It doesn't always feel good. And so the question for us is, are there ways that God's call on our lives and call to examine our souls, are there ways that this has been getting into our business in ways we don't really like? Is our time ours by rights, or is it ours by God's grace? Reflecting God's mercy and justice is meant to be woven into our lives and schedules. And Sabbath is about more than keeping a day. It's about God's mercy and justice for us and extending it to others. And the goal is God's shalom, peace, and holistic well-being, and the preeminence of God and His ways in all things. So, Sabbath is for modeling God. Sabbath is for focusing on God. Sabbath pervades time, and Sabbath is for forming right relationship with God, people, and the world. And how did Israel do at entering in to God's great Sabbath? Well, to adapt G.K. Chesterton, Sabbath was not tried and found wanting. It was found difficult and not tried. There's no clear report that Israel ever kept Jubilee. And after five centuries of kings, God sent the nation of Israel into exile for 70 years, 1 year for each Sabbath year they failed to keep. We see in prophets like Amos, God says, "I despise your feasts and take no delight in your solemn assemblies." Justice and mercy weren't kept. People's hearts were far from God, even in what Sabbath they did keep. As the author of Hebrews puts it, Israel never truly entered in to Sabbath rest. Then comes Jesus. Something big happens at the outset of Jesus' ministry, as related in Luke chapter 4. Jesus goes to Nazareth, likely at the synagogue he was raised going to, and he reads from Isaiah 61. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Isaiah is painting a picture of Jubilee. Then Jesus says something remarkable today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus is announcing himself as the fulfiller of Jubilee. You could call Isaiah 61 a mission statement for Jesus' ministry. Bear with me, please. I'm missing a page, and that's suicide for me because I'm very dependent on my notes. But that's okay. Sabbath continues to be a point of conflict in Jesus' ministry life. Was he keeping the Sabbath when he healed people on it? Well, the religious leaders, and these are the leaders of God-given religion, felt like he was breaking the Sabbath when he restored someone. But their view was missing God's heart and had become myopic about God's intentions for his people. And what we see is Jesus, he speaks to the Sabbath. He says, my Father is still working, and I am working also. After God's work of creation, he rested. But his work of redemption has not stopped. And Israel knew that because of his mighty work to save them from slavery in Egypt and again to restore and keep his people preserved. And so the question remained among the leaders, did Jesus keep Sabbath? And I will tell you how Jesus kept Sabbath. When the nation of Israel was celebrating the Passover feast, one of the Sabbaths of God, Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane until he sweat blood. He labored in carrying a heavy wooden beam outside the city of Jerusalem and up a hill called Calvary. And he labored as he took each breath nailed to a cross. And he labored as he quoted scripture that he had learned as a man from Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? That psalm goes on to talk about having no rest and calling out to God. And Jesus labored until he breathed his last. It is finished. Jesus went into the opposite of Sabbath in order that we might enjoy it forever. He did the work that only he could do to accomplish redemption. And therefore we have the Sabbath rest that Hebrews talks about. Jesus kept Sabbath, the second great Sabbath of God. So, creation culminated in the Sabbath. Redemption culminates in Sabbath. And time itself will culminate in an everlasting Sabbath in the presence of God. This is the third great Sabbath of God. Jesus is the pioneer into that land of the heavens and the new earth. In Revelation, given to John, the last book of the Bible, God lays out for us this rich tapestry of imagery and activity pertaining to the fulfillment of the ages. And it all culminates in a day, a Sabbath. You see this in Revelation 21 and 22, the last two chapters of the Bible. A Sabbath, a city, a people, and night will be no more. There will be no sun and moon, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. This is the third great Sabbath of God, eternal rest. Beginning and end, God rests after creation, and we enter into his rest. So hopefully you have this great big picture of a beautiful Sabbath that God wants all of us to enter into. And how would God have us mark our lives, our weeks, our seasons, and years, and generations with Sabbath? Well, let me start with Sundays. Do you need to come to church on Sundays? Yes. unless providentially hindered, let's assemble. Let's get together and worship. Let's keep a Sabbath day for good works and refixing our eyes on Jesus and the rest to come. A day just to seek God's pleasure. The world is not going to tell you to do this. This is something that we choose to do as God's people. Sundays should be the highlight of our week. Come expecting to see God at work and to be changed. And let that dictate the rest of your week. And this Sabbath thing is a community thing. We need significant life together as God's people in a busy and fragmented world. If you stay on the periphery, you will suffer the lack of this community, this Sabbathing with God's people. And the church will suffer by lacking you and the gifts God gave you to lend to the team. Next, let us keep Sabbath by pursuing Jubilee. Jesus' Jubilee ministry should inform our ministry. We're a Jubilee community as God's people. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. Our words and our deeds announce the year of the Lord's favor, wholeness and abundance of life through Jesus Christ. Every member has gifts of the Spirit to minister God's grace to others so that they too may know him. This ministry of mercy and justice, the proclamation of good news, should somehow weave in to the rhythms of our lives and mark our time. Maybe it's something you roll up your sleeves and do for a season, like our brother Steve Burns that just came back from ministering in Palestine and Israel. Or maybe it's something you commit to weekly. One way or another, God is calling us to pursue the Sabbath of Jubilee as a people. And in pursuing Jubilee, we're inviting others, the least, the last, and the lost, like ourselves, in to God's great Sabbath. Lastly, working and resting. What about us, City Line Church? Is our life informed by work, or is it informed by Sabbath? We work a lot, as was mentioned, and a lot of us are pretty good at it. We're busy a lot. And yet we also pine for rest, to veg, to be entertained. Well, let the great Sabbath of God inform your work and reinvigorate your rest, renewal, and retooling. Sabbath offers clarification for the overworked and overbusy, and also informs those who are spiritually lazy. Now, some of us are weary. And if you aren't now, you're likely to be soon enough. And I want to encourage you to take heart, brothers and sisters. Keep coming to our unshakable Sabbath, Jesus. His way that we enter into does have trouble, and things do get hard, and sometimes things may even feel devastating. There is battle and suffering now, but the war is won and rest is assured. Trust and call upon Jesus as you walk in his way towards our Sabbath destination. Strive to enter that rest because Sunday's coming. Let's remember what God has done and what God is doing and what God will do. The arc of time and history bends towards Sabbath. My hope is that we will walk away with a 24/7 yearning to enter in to the great Sabbath of God. Pray. Father, thank you for Sabbath. Thank you for how you dictate time and invite us in to fellowship with you. We thank you for sending your son, your very own son, your precious son, to establish this and make this an inheritance and a definite for us. Show us how to enter in by faith in what we do and what we say and how we structure our lives, and help us to do that together for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.